The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we're bringing you a brand new live program on a very special topic, something that all of you have, unfortunately, a little bit of attraction for, and it's called sugar. Yeah, you know, that thing that we run to the stores for, and you know, just give you kind of a little idea how bad things are for you when it comes to that crazy thing. But understand what we're calling it. We're calling it your nemesis, your public enemy number one. Yep, that's it. That's not even COVID. It's sugar. And we're going to tell you why, and we're going to tell you how it links into COVID. But at the end of the day, you know, years ago, a couple hundred years ago, sugar in this country was a condiment, and they kept it under lock and key, and it basically, the consumption rate was something in the neighborhood of about 16, 17 pounds of sugar per person per year. Today, it's about 170 pounds per person per year. And I don't eat much of anything when it comes to sugar. So who gets my share? Just think about it. And we look around and we see people that don't look quite as good as they should. But in studio today, not only a very dear friend, but somebody who I admire tremendously, one of our docs at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dr. Scott Lamp. Scott, welcome. I know this is a topic that you like to get your teeth into and, you know, let people know about what the heck is going on and how it affects everything from, you know, inflammatory reactions to immune conditions in their body, their brain not working well, joint pain, you name it. It just is a constant cascade. And in today's world, the increased susceptibility to COVID. We'll talk about that as well. So anyway, welcome as usual.
Thank you.
And let's move forward. So, you know, if you had to set the stage for this thing, what would you want our listeners to kind of, you know, bootstrap to begin with? What do they need to know?
I think the first thing is take a look at it's really how much are we taking in and pulling in, and is this really affecting us? So I think you really got to look at the signs and symptoms. Is this really hitting me right now? And sugar is a situation that pretty much hits everybody in the population in more ways than one, either from the stress of dealing with somebody, taking care of them, and that stress itself creates a sugar handling problem and something called cortisol, and we'll get into a little bit of that situation. But look at the overall, we've got a situation with COVID trying to keep us indoors. We're not moving, and exercise is one of the ways to take care of sugar or try to work with it, is actually exercise and being restricted in that. So we want to look at, are we developing some symptoms that might be associated with this? We got to take a look at some of those and try to figure out, okay, what are we, if we're having that, we have something called insulin resistance. We're going to talk about that too. And how do we handle that stuff so we don't go down this dark corridor, which actually can create a lot of problems and makes every other disease process worse?
Now, let me ask you a question. You know, based on, you know, the conversation that we're getting into right now, and I alluded to the fact in your title, you know, public enemy number one, sugar and sugar addiction. Let's start with that. Why is sugar so addictive, you know, for people metabolically? Why do they crave it? Why do they go out of their way and they'd rather eat that than anything else?
Well, I think it happens. It has a dopamine effect. And I think when you talk about dopamine and that kind of thing, it makes you feel better. There's a feel good type situation that happens, but it has a downside crashing curve to it. And I think that's going to be the big situation. That's what the addictive part of it is. Hits these dopamine receptors in our bodies, which again, make you feel good. And that's why you want to be able to do that. It's interesting when you have the addictive aspect when you're dealing with even alcoholics. What's the first thing that happens with an alcoholic after they stop drinking alcohol? They start eating sugar. What's alcohol mostly made out of?
Sugar.
Sugar. So it's like, you know, and it's kind of an interesting thing. I had a way back when went to a health screening. It was in Alexandria. You remember a gentleman that came up to me. This is after the health fair. Guy was in an orange jumpsuit. He was low risk from some prison area. They was there helping up and says, doctor, do you mind if I talk to you a little bit? And I'm really trying to deal with and try to get out of this facility. And one of the big problems was the only things that were given them were a lot of milk and bread and all these kind of sugary type substances. He said, I just can't control myself. And part of that is probably in the reaction of maybe something that got me in trouble in the first place. So it's interesting to see, even on the mental aspect of controlling sugar, that in this particular case for this person, it was actually putting them in prison.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing that our listeners probably, they're aware of innately, and it's exactly what you just talked about, is that sugar and alcohol go hand in glove. They're both addictive. They go to certain receptor sites in the brain as well as other metabolic areas, and they increase the presence of those receptors that crave that sugar piece, the alcohols that stem from sugar and so forth. And that's, you know, that's the hook. That's the addiction. And, until you can reset that and get that to go away, you know, people are going to crave it. The good news is it can be done, but it's a tough trail. And right now in the world that we're living in, you know, you look around and people are getting heavier than they were before COVID. You know, we talk about the COVID-19, but it's, you know, some people put on 30, 35 pounds. And the interesting piece also is that people who are overweight have much more of a predisposition to getting any viral pattern, including this COVID-19. And we'll get into that a little bit as well. So let's talk about the inflammatory nature. We know most disease processes, metabolic processes, cancers, brain degeneration, diabetic conditions, heart disease, and so forth, are all locked in on an inflammatory reaction that takes place. How does this take place? Why is sugar the culprit?
Well, I think what happens is that the sugar, one of the problems is that if the sugar gets too high and the body can't deal with how much sugar is coming in, you know, we have a cell has the ability to be able to actually withstand a certain amount of hormonal reaction that comes in, or sensitivity coming in. I kind of like my analogy. It's kind of like being at some type of event at a stadium of some sort, and you're actually a vendor. And at that vendor, if you're the only vendor and everybody's coming to you at one time, it's just too much. It's an overload and they can't handle it. They might even shut down because they can't deal with this. And so when the sugar gets up so high, the communication at that particular point, the body might not be able to communicate well and actually handle the sugar. So the sugar starts backing up. When it starts backing up, it makes the bloodstream get sluggish. And now we have something called insulin. And insulin's trying to put it in. And then all of a sudden, it can't get that in because you got some resistance. There's just too much sugar there. So what happens is this insulin itself causes inflammatory elements throughout the whole body. So when we have blockages, and that's the whole thing with inflammation, you think about inflammation as a block for the body to communicate. It gets in the way. It doesn't let things communicate, get through. Hormones can't do what they need to do. Certain types of minerals can't get in and out. And when we talk about even like insulin resistance, you even have other resistances that happen. Insulin blocks, it also blocks potassium, magnesium getting into cells, and then you get problems there. So there's all kinds of nutritional deficiencies. It starts happening when you have this thing or this backlog that starts to happen.
You know, it's incredible when we look at disease processes. You mentioned something several times now, and I did as well. It's called inflammation. So inflammation, if people think about acid, things that burn things up, I want them to think of inflammation. Inflammation, mm-hmm. Think about acid. And there's a destructive process that go too long and it's unregulated, begins to break arteries down. It begins to break tissue down. It begins to destroy hormone function in the body and the like. And so you see people now with, we're seeing spikes in, we have for years, for probably the last 15, 20 years, spikes in attention deficit patterns, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, inability to focus, people that can't sleep, joint pain that doesn't go away, inability to have any cognitive assimilation. What I mean by that is to be able to carry a thought straight through before it drops off. All those things are part of what we're talking about.
Hormone panels being, menstruations sometimes being absent. There's a lot of relationship between sugar handling and in regards to actually having your period or cycle being balanced. There's all kinds of things from that to like blurry vision. I mean, we're going some of these symptoms that people generally have, but I think there's those type of things. Frequent infections, people getting more prone to have infections and involved in these sugar handling type of problems, thirst, hungry, brain fog, neurotransmitters can't connect. It's across the spectrum in almost all different aspects of health that you look at. sugar makes everything else worse, and that's why it's public enemy number one.
Here's the deal, and something that we hadn't touched upon yet, and you know, you and I had a patient yesterday that came in for the first time, and that's why it's fresh on my mind, because I was doing some work on it last night.
Right.
This poor guy has a cancer, sarcoma, and a very weird one, but we won't get into that. But nevertheless, this man's in a lot of pain. He's hurting. His legs are being affected. But any cancer, the number one thing that feeds cancer above everything else is sugar.
Yeah, because I think the cells themselves, when you talk about any cell in the body that has the most receptor sites for sugar is cancer cells. And
yep.
It's like, always kind of think of it as like a very hungry baby screaming for all the attention it wants. And like, for example, cancer actually loves to have the body, like you were talking about, being acidic. Because if the body's acidic, the body breaks down. A lot of this stuff breaks down into sugar. So that's the way the kind of like the cancer wants to be. It wants to be in that environment and feed off of that.
Yeah, it's and you know, when I tell patients who have had cancer over the years and we're treating it for pain patterns, we're treating, you know, to increase their immune function and so forth, I said the one thing you have to do straight across the board is you have to stop any type of sugar that's going into your body. Your body has to go completely alkaline. And they look at you and it's like that's a worse diagnosis than the cancer. You know,
right.
they'd rather deal with that. And it's like, oh, my God, this is what got you there. And we have to make sure that we, you know, we address it, that we turn this thing around. And if you don't, you know, we got a problem that is just never going to go away. But cancer loves sugar. That's why when they do a diagnostic called a PET scan, what
right.
they're actually doing is they're injecting a radioisotope sugar into your body and then watching where it goes, because the cancer tumor, the cancer tissue, wherever it is going to attract that far greater than anything else, any other tissue would in the body.
Yeah, I think the whole thing, as you're talking about, is where the reason is like, wait a minute, that's my comfort food. How am I supposed to deal with the cancer if I can't eat the sugar?
Yeah, there's your dopamine reaction again. And you go,
there you go.
You go in that, you know, upregulated, let's go get it, you know, and then you go down the other side and then the serotonin, you know, kicks in and that drops you. Then it goes too low. You go into depression. And there's so many people that are suffering from anxiety and depressive states. And so we're not talking about just removing the sugar. And this is what I want people to understand. Once you've been in that loop, once it's there, now you have to not only remove it and get things back into the body that the body needs, but you have to reset the systems, the nervous system, the hormone system. You have to get rid of the pain patterns because it creates its own physiological loop, so to
right,
speak.
Right. And I think, too, it's like, you know, sometimes we talk about some things and we've got some great nutritionists in the office and they talk about things like keto diets where you're trying to do another burning pathway, but you just can't jump right into that. That takes 2, 6, maybe 8 weeks for somebody to adapt to it if that's a good diet for them. And to change that over, the body's going to fight it to be able to get to that point. But if you get to that point, it might be beneficial depending on, you know, the circumstances of that person. But it takes a while to get out of that point. And you've got to set them up and you got to get to proper training to be able to do that.
You know, I had a patient that had come in and this guy was really locked into his alcohol. And he wasn't, you know, a slobbering drunk, but he had to have alcohol every day or his body couldn't function. And I got him convinced because we were able to step it out, that he had to drop off the alcohol, but he substituted tons and tons of fruit. And I mean, this guy was eating it by the basket loads. And I said, no, you can't do that. That fructose is sugar, the same as glucose and sucrose and anything.
Actually, fructose could be worse depending on the type of thing, because you're going to have more liver damage and that kind of thing. So that type of sugar is even worse.
Exactly. You know, we're going to cover a lot of stuff. We're coming up to a quick break. So this is an important topic. It's one that if people didn't do anything else except get their head around this, they could change virtually anything. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, and my guest today, Dr. Scott Lamb, and we're talking about a very prominent, dominant subject. It's called sugar, your addiction to it, public enemy number one. And this week, Wednesday, as always, Dr. Scott will be your narrator, and if you'd like to have all the data, all the information on this, all you have to do is go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. And, or simply call, the Roselle Center in Fairfax, 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And tell them that you'd like to receive the video, and they'll send it to your email. They'll send it wherever you want to send it. You can share it. You know, we don't care. This information is for you. That's why we do this. Dr. Scott, welcome back. And yeah. You know, let's get into, we have a short segment right now. What I want to touch upon is the sugar problem, the sugar addiction, if you will, to this stupid virus that's out there, COVID, and actually other viruses. Why does sugar predispose people in a much greater susceptibility to this craziness that's out there than anything else?
Well, we talked about it lowering the ability to decrease infections. It actually promotes it. I think there's a strong combination here. Also look at vitamin D. Vitamin D helps with insulin resistance, or vitamin D levels go down, and all of a sudden the sugar levels actually pop up. We find that majority of the people that pass away from COVID are usually in maybe what we call the metabolic syndrome, the obese type of kind of like area of health. And when those happen, you have core morbidities, and sugar seems to play all with those. And so the core morbidity would be like heart disease, high blood pressures, sugar levels high, LDLs, when you talk about cholesterol. Cholesterols are off, where the HDLs are low and the LDLs are high. And all those have a reaction to, or play a game with, regards to sugar. Now, sugars are too high. The body's going to try to compensate. And when it tries to do it, tries to make triglycerides. And triglycerides then get converted into cholesterol. And then the cholesterol problems are associated with plaquing throughout the body, and so on and so forth. And so those are inflammatory things. And so that's the big situation, with you got all these things that kind of decrease flow. The body doesn't flow as well. When you have a definition of an infection is when something's backing up, fluid's backing up, and then the bacteria and viruses grow into those spots. So there's multiple levels to where this kind of affects us. One being is what we just talked about. The other one is, okay, then vitamin D can't work as well, with the insulin resistance.
The whole, you know, and that's the piece. It's the resistance part that I want people to really understand. Remember that what we talked about in the beginning is the inflammation, inflammatory reaction. Right. So when this stupid viral pattern comes in any viral pattern, what it does is it causes an inflammatory cascade. And everybody's heard the term cytokine cascade. And that's just an inflammatory reaction that stops any of the in and out transport from the cells. And if you can't get anything in, or if you can't get anything out, that cell is going to break down, and it's going to begin to degrade. It's going to begin to die. So you can't transport the D in. You can't transport the zinc in that your body needs for healing. It can't get internally into the receptor sites. And now the body begins to go into overwhelm. And that's the cascade. So sugar being this inflammatory situation, you know, in people, and we call it an overfat syndrome. And here's a situation that's really interesting. You can be a skinny fat person. Right. And that means that you get on the waist of the scale, and you're close. You're right within the normal weight, but your makeup of fat to muscle is way off. And that's the thing that people have to understand as well, that, well, I'm not that fat. Well, let's see what your metabolic patterns really are, and let's hook you up and see what the scale says, you know, with a metabolic approach. And now all of a sudden we see somebody who is a lighter person, but they got huge amounts of fat in their body. Subsequently, the inflammatory reactions, and now they're susceptible to all kinds of things.
Yeah, this is the type of person that's like, what? What's exercise?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a foreign term to me.
Yeah, you know, a patient called in and said, you know, my mother ends up had COVID, or has COVID, and what can we do about it? And I said, you know, what is your, you know, give me an idea what your mother's dietary patterns are. And she was sick, but she wasn't terribly sick. And I get all these, you know, these carbohydrates and donuts and things of that nature. And I said, that's where you got to start. You know, we're coming up to a break. We got about a minute, and this is an important topic, but I want to mention something to our audience. I promised you that I would continue giving you information on what these vaccines were all about. If you go to my Facebook page, R. Thomas Roselle, you don't have to friend me. Just go into it. You go into the office website, Roselle Care, or you go into Dr. Tom Rozell, .com, you're going to find a video, and it's the most succinct presentation of what is happening with these viral or these vaccines. And what I want you to remember, they are not true vaccines by any definition. This doctor, this amazing woman, lays it out very cleanly. The best I've heard. Check it out. Go to those sites.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
This is important, particularly in today's world of susceptibility and things that, you know, go bump in the night, meaning, you know, oh my God, I've got this virus. Oh my God, I'm not feeling good. You really need to understand what to do to protect yourself, not against COVID by itself, but any type of bacterial viral infection. In studio, somebody who I respect tremendously, Dr. Scott Lamp, and we're going to give you the nitty gritty. There's something called metabolic syndrome. And metabolic syndrome is one of these things that slowly brings about a degradation in bodies, not only immune system, but lifestyle. And we used to call it, metabolic X syndrome.
Syndrome X, yeah.
And now it's just straight up metabolic syndrome. Dr. Scott, welcome back. Talk us through it. What is a metabolic syndrome?
Well, metabolic syndrome, it's kind of interesting because if you go to Dr. Google, you got like three or four different variations to it. But generally what it is, it's an increased waistline. You have a centralized kind of like obesity to it. You have high blood pressure. There's increased blood sugar in your blood sugar count. You have low HDL, which is high density lipids. You have high triglycerides. And then you have high, low-density lipids, and that's basically what they're looking at in regards to it. And basically, you're probably be listing as obesity, and that's going to be metabolic syndrome. And so it's interesting, again, like we talked about earlier, the number of people that are passing away from on the COVID aspect is those people who are obese are highly susceptible to COVID infection.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's the key. And that's what I want people to understand. You have two presentations that increase the mortality rate as well as the morbidity rate. Morbidity meaning, you know, really sick, not feeling good type of thing. One is the vitamin D levels very, very low. And that's right. Where we're looking to African Americans and people who have darker skin pigmentation. And the reason for it is simply this, as I've said many times on the program, is that the sun cannot penetrate the skin receptors to stimulate the melanocytes, which create the vitamin D. So vitamin D is critical. You have to have high enough levels of doing that. People ask, well, Doc, how much vitamin D should I take? You know, when so many people in this area, 80% of the population is vitamin D deficient or insufficient. And you're talking about not just giving 1,000 milligrams or 400 milligrams. Sometimes we're kicking it up to 10,000 units, and we just keep a monitor on it. We want it to stay slightly under 100, but as long as you're there, you're pretty good. But sometimes it just doesn't transport because of the inflammation, because of sugar. And, you know, so when we have that situation going on, and we have the blood sugar levels that are going, you know, in keeping the inflammatory levels in place, now we got a problem. So zinc can't get into the system. Zinc is the thing that stops the replication of the virus. And, it's so easy to treat. And that's a subject for a whole different program. But anyway, let's jump on this metabolic pattern. So we can end up blood pressure problems. We end up with heart disease. We can end up with not feeling good. People can stroke out. They can have a structural pain. All of this is part of that metabolic pathway.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. I mean, one of the metabolic pathways before, and again, they're going to have the insulin resistance. What's interesting is like we think about this door being closed. We're not taking insulin in. The body's got, the cells are having too much of it. I can't take it. But when you have a blockage of insulin, what else gets blocked? And I think, you know, when you talk about potassium plays a big part in regards to elasticity and actually reducing blood pressure. So the question is what's causing the blood pressure problem? Is it a blood pressure problem and then they get, insulin resistance, or is it insulin resistance causing blood pressure problems? And usually you find you have a potassium deficiency. Magnesium, which is kind of helps relax muscle tissues and things of that nature. You get a magnesium deficiency. Because you're getting magnesium resistance. There's the hormone leptin, which is actually helps control your hunger. You get leptin resistance. So then the hunger is not controlled. So you keep on eating.
So you're trying to satiate that nasty tiger that's inside of you.
Yeah. So all those things get to get backed up. And the whole thing, and it's our, the whole thing that we do in our office is really trying to maintain communication, balance the body. I don't think I'm too far wrong with that. And there's whole different pathways you do that with. Sugars is one of these big things that blocks a lot of these things. And, you know, we want to have things moving through the nervous system correctly, but this can affect myelin. It can affect, you know, one of the big findings, especially with diabetes in the long term, or even in the short term and with insulin resistance, you might get numbness in your hands and feet. The myelins get affected. You might also not get good blood flow between the arteries and the veins down there. And all of a sudden the nerves get affected. And now they start to get this little tingling sensation in my hands and feet. Polyneuropathies a lot of times play a big part with sugars and stuff of that nature. So it's interesting how this gets into so many different places. It could affect your hearing. It could affect, and you know, one of the things where I was doing some research on concussions, they talked about one of the things you do for concussions is to restrict sugar as much as possible and get the body to try to eat more on the fat side of it to kind of heal the brain. But it also goes back in the 1920s where they look at epileptic seizures. One of the treatment protocols was to keep a low sugar diet on these people and be less seizures involved.
Yeah, all of a sudden people out there are saying, what do you mean? I have to eat fat, where everybody out there is saying, don't eat fat, you know, stay away from fat. Well, the deal is fat is your friend as long as it's good fat and you need a lot of it, whether it's coconut oil or olive oil, things of that nature. And if you don't have it, you can't form hormones. You can't have good neurological transmission. Your body is just not going to work, period.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, when we go on to dietary aspects and restrict calories, that's all said and good. But the problem being is that the quality of the food that you're still putting in makes a big difference. They talk about the current trend with like intermittent fasting could sometimes help with diabetic conditions and things of that nature. But it doesn't mean you don't. You know, okay, I can reduce some calories and I have a certain period that I'm not eating at. But on the other hand, if you're eating junk, you're not going to change your metabolic profile.
No, not at all. You know, interesting, there was a young girl in the practice and she's still part of our practice. She's about 25 years old now and she's pregnant and she had gotten into a bad habit, you know, of carbohydrate, so forth, and put on a few extra pounds. And she goes to the doctor and she goes into a gestational diabetic pattern, right? So the allopathic community wants to, you know, start shoving all kinds of, medication at her and so forth and so on. And I'm saying, no, don't do that. You're carrying a child and you don't want to put that baby into any more stress. This is what you got to do. You want to fix it? Here's how you fix it. Stop eating the garbage that you're eating and start eating clean foods, tons of vegetables, a lot of protein, multiple times a day. We put it in a nutrition department. And literally within a matter of 10 days, 2 weeks, she was back to normal. But still, her physicians are saying, well, you're still predisposed to a type 2 diabetes and so forth. But I bring this up only because of the fact that we are a society that is self-perpetuating this type of presentation, and it's killing us. It's causing all kinds of problems. And if she had continued this child that she was carrying would be in jeopardy as well because it's a pass-through.
You know, and it was interesting. I mean, and again, the thing is where are we getting our information from? And this morning I was looking up, just kind of preparing a little bit for today, and I just put in metabolic syndrome and anything new about it. And they have this thing, and it's question and answer, says, well, there's really no cure to metabolic syndrome. And I'm like, really? I mean, what is this guy reading? You know, what is this guy reading? So you can go on the deep end on some of the things that you're reading in some of these, the Dr. Googles that are out there. But, you know, we try to bring up some really good quality facts that you have, things that we've seen that done well in our office that we'll review in the class on Wednesday night, that these things can be taken care of. But you got to understand, you're dealing with an addiction that is very hard to work with. You need to have probably some professional help to help you along the way.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that is that this is a pass-through. It's like somebody who's had parents who were alcoholics or drank a lot. They're going to have a bigger predisposition to drinking themselves or craving sugars, particularly when they're young. And because we talked about those receptor sites, and those receptor sites are genetically engineered, but they can go away. And here's the piece that we talk about all the time is that your genetic map, your expression of who you are at this moment in time, is your history of your physiological situation. So we know that the gene pool can be modified. We used to think it was, you know, maybe about 50 to 75%. Now we know 100% of the gene pool can be expressed differently simply by changing the environment, the exactly. impact. And you can make this go away, not only a little bit, but you can make it go away completely, and you can make it go away 100%. But the whole idea is to get the body to settle down and to get rid of the pain pattern, to get rid of the inflammation, begin to reverse the heart disease, you know, stabilize the diabetic pattern, and, you know, all the pieces that are associated with that. This is a critical yeah. – the topic we're talking about is probably more important than anything else that we talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think change the repetition. That's the other thing is there's so much repetition that I think that has a lot to do with gene expression too. You do the same thing over and over again, you're going to start changing some of those or creating patterns that are harder to change. You've got to work on how can I break that cycle. Really, really is a big, big thing to do with. And there's great things that we have in the office. We have things where there's acupuncture points on the ear in regards for addiction. There's a lot of different things. It's interesting when we talk about using Genema, and I've done that in the office a couple times when we hit in office. And I don't know, Tom, do you remember if I told you about that? Is you take Genema in a tablet form and you grind it up, you put it on your taste buds. And I did it to one of our, I'm not going to mention the name of one of our, co-workers, but she
because
has
a, you're a nasty person doing things like that
yeah,
to people.
Yeah, but the thing, but the point is it's kind of like you take the sugar out, and they were eating a particular candy they like, and it absolutely tasted absolutely disgusting because you take the sweet taste out, all the other stuff comes up to front, and it's terrible tasting. So it's kind of interesting is like some of the addiction type things. If you really have to go eat some food, if you need to have a kind of a biofeedback to make that work, Genema actually works pretty good for that.
Well, you know, if people want to do an experiment, go to the different stores where you're looking for a vitamin supplement that you can put in your mouth or, you know, a liquid that you're going to drink, and take a look at the side panel, and it's loaded with sugars, you know, yep. and it's unbelievable. So they can get you hooked on that. The different fast food restaurants. Going back in the day, McDonald's for one. McDonald's used to put a ton of sugars in their, in their hamburger buns because it was an addictive process. They knew that and they did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, and they get us at the most susceptible places in our lives. Do this to increase your energy. Do this to da 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 da. And subsequently we got a problem. But you know, this is an important topic. And if all of our listeners just mastered this piece and really said, okay, I'm going to do whatever it needs to take to change this in me, we would reverse the greatest majority of disease processes across the board. It's an incredible, straightforward situation.
Tom, I think one of the things you just brought it up is reading labels. And even the labels are confusing. And they're purposely done that way. So it's like when you ask somebody says, well, how many grams of sugar is in that particular box of food that you've got over there? And they'll look like, well, look at, they'll say, oh, sugars are 15 grams. And then you'll ask them, well, what's the carbohydrates in the label? And they'll say 30. And so what you got to look at is the carbohydrates, not the sugars, because carbohydrates are sugars. So sometimes the sugars are what's added, but they're looking at something else and they think they're doing they're doing a good job for themselves, keeping the numbers down, but it's really not the whole story.
No, not at all.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
In different parts of the country, you know what the drill is, right? So continue listening and pass it on to people who are out there. And as always, we want to salute our men and women in armed forces, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. And please, please continue to reach out. And if we can get you the data that you need, no matter what part of the world that you're in, we will always make that happen for you. And I want to say thank you very much. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lapp, we're talking about sugar, public enemy number one. And, you know, this is a topic, Dr. Scott, welcome back. We could sit here and talk about actually for 2-3 hours because it's so important.
Easy.
And we could, you know, if people didn't do anything else, as I said in the last segment, but shifting this and getting out of their own way, they could heal things that medicine can't even begin to appreciate. I don't know why. There's a lot of good people out there that are understanding metabolic patterns and sugar and the relationship to cancers and other hormonal relationships and so forth. But this is critical. And the doctors at the Rozell Center for Healing, particularly Dr. Scott Lamp, can really help you through and get rid of the pain. Get rid of, you know, the predispositions, if you will, to coronary vascular disease and strokes and so forth, and then numbness. And Scott, I wanted to mention something. We have put together a program for people who have neuropathies, using a combination of an impact unit that stimulates the cellular replication, low energy light laser, nutritional protocols, neurological supports, and so forth. And all you need to do, if you'd like to find out about that, is get a hold of Dr. Scott, and he'll walk you through it. And you can get to do that by reaching out to the website, send him an email, or call him 703-698-7117, and he'll get back to you right away. Anyway, I wanted to mention that because you and I have been working on this now for quite a while.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you're going to be doing with this presentation on Wednesday.
Well, first off, we're going to go over and say, okay, first off, you know, talk a little about the statistics and what happens, the signs and symptoms. There's things also with sugar handling too. There's both the hyper side and the hypo side. So we're going to really take a look at those. What's hypoglycemic? What's hyperglycemic? What does it look like? What does it feel like? One can lead into the other. So it's going to be important to understand those. And then how to kind of counteract some of these things and what are the things that could be done. Laboratory work, which is also going to be very, very important to kind of give a scale of how things are going and what's the good interpretation. And Tom, as you know, there's the medical reference range and then there's functional functional ranges. And functional ranges are going to be based on people that are in optimal health. Instead of looking at medical ranges, some of the medical ranges will actually include both sick and healthy, so it skews the results a little bit. So you want to look at the numbers a little bit more strongly. Also looking things in regards to, we'll talk about something like on the adrenal side. We didn't mention that in our talks today, but basically you can produce sugar from or get sugar in your system by eating it, or you can stress it. And the stressing mechanism and how much that plays a part. Something called cortisol puts sugar in our system. And it's another way, and with the COVID situation and being scared and being locked in, a huge amount of stress mechanisms that play a part. So that has to be addressed. So we're going to look at laboratories. What can we do for you in the office here? Give you a couple different other aspects. Talk about nutritional elements. Talk about what happens with food additives. Tons of information that'll be great that you can get from this.
Yeah, this is a world and wealth of knowledge like you've never had the opportunity to listen to before. So, you know, ask for the presentation this Wednesday night. Just simply call 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, or go online. And if you scroll down our webpage at rozellecare.com, that's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rozellecare.com, go down. You're going to see it. It's going to say register here. Click the button, put the information in, and we'll send it to you. But more importantly, if you have questions on any level whatsoever, reach out to, you know, Dr. Scott, and, you know, whether it's a neuropathic problem. And Scott, you touched a little bit about cortisol and how important that is. Cortisol is a stress hormone that's produced by the outer shell of the adrenal glands. And when you're in constant pain or your constant stress pattern of any kind, emotional stress, cortisol keeps spiking. You can't sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night. Your blood sugars, if they were measured at that point, are going to dramatically increase because cortisol increases as it relates to blood sugar. Blood sugars increase relative to cortisol. So it's important that people understand that these things can be managed and managed effectively, but they have to know what to do and how to get it done.
Right, exactly. And I think that's, I would say probably part of the presentation, there's a good chunk of that that we will definitely go through with that.
So again, give us a call, 703-698-7117, or go online at rozellecare.com. And don't forget, go to my social media sites, or go to the office website, or go to the social media sites on rozellecare.com, or simply go to drtomrozell.com and, Check out that video that I told you about what's really going on with the vaccines. I put that information there for you. It's already been looked at a couple thousand times. It's important. It's accurate. It's honest. It's straightforward. I do as much as I can on an ongoing basis to make sure you have the information that you need to have. Dr. Scott, this is fun as always. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that, you know, that you do in the practice. You're, you know, one of the people that I really truly respect with your knowledge base and your capacity and so forth. We're coming up to that part of the program where we have to see. We'll see you next week. And obviously I'll have another interesting and provocative program for you. Remember, I'm on this microphone every week for one reason only. We love you. See you next week. Bye.